The Public News Service Daily Newscast for Monday, February the 11th, 2019. I'm Mike Clifford. Senator Amy Klobuchar braved the snow to join Democrats in the race for the White House. Also on the Monday rundown, our look at whether underpaid public defenders are putting justice at risk, plus the need for the Atlantic Coast Pipeline declines. First, a top story. On a snowy Sunday afternoon in Minnesota, Senator Amy Klobuchar announced that she will seek the 2020 Democratic presidential nomination. The Huffington Post reports she's one of several Democratic senators running and among several women in the field, already considered the most diverse pool in history. She says she'll be campaigning at a time when the country is worn down by the petty and vicious nature of politics. She said we're all tired of shutdowns and the put-downs, the gridlock, and the grandstanding. The Post adds, despite her personable public image, Klobuchar has a reputation for mistreating her staff, leading to a high staff turnover rate in her Capitol Hill office. Minnesota's public defender system has been severely underfunded for at least a decade, and many fear it results in clients not getting a fair shake.
It's estimated that 4 out of 5 criminal defendants use public defenders because they're too poor to hire a lawyer. To keep up with their caseload, public defenders work long hours under stressful circumstances, but their wages are much lower than a private practice attorney or even attorneys working for the state attorney general. Amy Kantorowicz has been an investigator with the Goodhue County Public Defender's Office for nearly 20 years, but works 2 additional jobs to pay the bills.
I think those individuals that stick it out for the long haul, I think it really shows that their heart is in it. But it's hard. It's hard to have invested so much time and energy into my education as well as a career and still not be able to make it on one job.
The American Bar Association recommends that public defenders handle no more than 400 cases per year, while those in Minnesota manage at least 500.
This report was produced by Fumberto Nolasco Gomez and Roz Brown, reporting for Workday Minnesota, Minnesota News Connection Collaboration. And a long-awaited vote expected this week on the future of water quality standards that impact nearly 2/3 of Kentucky's waterways. Mary Sherman has our report.
The Ohio River Valley Water Sanitation Commission is reconsidering its role in setting limits on pollution discharges in the river. The agency has been around for nearly 60 years and is comprised of commissioners from 8 states, including Kentucky. With the EPA and states setting their own standards, the argument is that Orsanco could focus its efforts on monitoring and spill response. Kevin Henchold with Kentuckians for the Commonwealth contends that would result in a patchwork of weaker standards among states.
According to Orsanco's own research, there are 188 chemicals that they regulate that EPA and member states don't regulate, and there are 252 chemicals that they regulate more stringently than the EPA or member states.
Amid federal efforts to weaken clean water protections, Henchold says this is no time for Orsanco to shed its duties. The commission meets Thursday in Covington and could decide on another proposal that would strengthen the standards and ensure they are consistently enforced by states. An initial vote was expected in October, but postponed for further review after a flurry of public comments in opposition.
Mary points out that more than 4 million people live within the Ohio River Basin in Kentucky. And only 39% of North Carolina's third graders are proficient at reading. That's according to the latest national report card. Antoinette Kerr reports a recent guide issued by the North Carolina Early Childhood Education Foundation says that the state can do better.
The Pathways to Grade Level Reading Action Framework provides expectations for systems that serve children and families. Mandy Bleidinger with the foundation says the guide proposes actions to support children's social and emotional health, early education, and regular school attendance.
The more we can be working together and have our strategies aligned and coordinated and be moving in the same direction, I think the better chance we have of really impacting children's and families' lives.
The report includes input from service providers about what helps and what gets in the way of improving outcomes for young children and families.
There's more information on the web at buildthefoundation.org. Finally, Dan Hyman reports the demand for the huge Atlantic Coast Pipeline was intended to meet is disappearing. That's according to documents from the corporations that are behind the project.
Dominion and Duke Energy own almost all of the pipeline, as well as the electric utilities it would supply with natural gas. When applying for a federal permit, they argued they needed to meet rising electricity demand in North Carolina and coastal Virginia. But Kathy Kunkel with the Institute for Energy Economics and Financial Analysis says utility filings in those states now show that outlook has changed dramatically, in part because of competition from cheap renewable energy.
Dominion is not projecting any increase in natural gas demand till 2032. Duke is still planning to build some natural gas plants, but most of that has shifted to the late 2020s.
The energy companies say they need more pipeline capacity to get fracked gas out of the Marcellus and Utica fields of northern West Virginia, where the price for it is artificially depressed by a transportation bottleneck.
Advocates say the incentives tend to make utilities and pipeline companies overestimate demand and overbuild capacity. I'm Mike Clifford. Thanks for starting your week, News and Cruisin' with Public News Service. We are member and listener supported, and we're online at publicnewsservice.org.